blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 272, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry have ready access unto thee. When in distress to thee I fly, O hide not thou thy face from me. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 272.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, and there of chapter 6, and there of the first 19 verses. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 6, beginning with 1 through 19. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the shewbread, and also gave to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone. And he said unto them, That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose, and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good, or to do evil, to save life, or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness, and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that he went up into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and he healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing God, we have heard out of thy word that thou didst know their thoughts, and thou knowest the thoughts of the heart of each and every one of us. And thou wilt bring us also into judgment for our very thoughts. Give us to feel something of the solemnity of that truth, and that we may turn within ourselves, and that we may abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee. And we have heard that there went virtue out of thee, to heal all those that were sick, all those that were diseased, so that those who were diseased sought that they might but touch thee, or that thou may give such also in the midst of us, and that we might know what our great disease is, and that we are able to bring ourselves into death, but we are not able to deliver ourselves from it, and that we may have a cry out of the depth of our misery that goes out to thee who art almighty, but who art also gracious and merciful to the chiefest of the sinners. O, show it unto us for the first time or by renewal, that we may be brought to that blessed place at thy footstool, and that we may receive a token of thy favor, and that thou wouldest heal our poor souls, and that thou wouldst cast out the devil, who does work within us continually to bring forth the evil that is within us and to destroy our souls. Oh, then we have no power against him and his great temptations, as he has tempted our first father, and he has fallen. And we, thy servant, does right, are weak through the flesh, so that there is no man that is able to overcome, and the power of those spirits that do seek the destruction of the soul of young and old. But thou hast virtue, thou hast the power to cast them out. Oh, we beseech thee then that it may be experienced in the heart of each and every one of us, both young and old, while we are still living in a time of grace, and that thou mayst so bless thy own word, and that thou may also in these days call men into the ministry, as we have heard that thou didst send forth thy disciples, calling them from their callings in this world, and that they may do the calling and the bidding of thee, and that thou wouldest make them fishers of men, and that thou wouldest send them forth in their own weakness, to show forth thy great power and thy virtue, or that thou may give it also in the days in which we are living, and that many may yet have in these last times to be brought to true conversion, and that thy truth may be upheld, and that our children may also have those to go before them, and our grandchildren who are taught of thee, who are instructed by thy Spirit in the most necessary things, and that may be receiving the gifts from above, that they may bring thy holy word. Wilt thou give in the midst of us also those who may have it laid upon their heart, to give themselves to the work of teaching our children in our own schools. For thou knowest the lack that is only increasing continually. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou mayest give those who may be instructed and taught of thee, that that tender fear of thee may live in their hearts, and that they may have a desire to do that blessed work in all of its difficulties, in all of its trials, that thou may help all those that do labor in our school. Remember all the needs in the midst of the congregation. Thou knowest her that does lay upon her sick bed as so very weak. Could it please thee yet to restore her? And if not, O Lord, that thou mayest yet give her a wide opening into the gates of heaven. For thou knowest her soul, and thou knowest all that transpires, though she cannot be reached by men. And then that thou thyself may speak, O Lord, and that thou may supply in that time that she also will have to go out of this life. Wilt thou remember all that are about her in thy mercy, and all those that have needs, those that must go into the hospital, diseases, serious diseases, those also that have burdens that are hidden perhaps, those where there are difficulties between husbands and wives, where there are children that have no desire to walk in the ways of thy truth anymore, where there are griefs and sorrows, Lord, that thou may supply and give the sanctification of all the crosses in the midst of this short journey here below, and that they may be used to instruct us upon our way, that we have here but a short time, and that we must be born again, that thou may bind it upon both young and old together. Remember our brother elder, who may with his wife commemorate their anniversary in this day, and that thou may remember them together for a life that goes onward. And they also become older, and these momentous days do instruct also that we will not always have one another, that thou may give them yet a time together, and that thou may give them yet that communion together concerning the most necessary things before one day they will have to be separated. And all those that may commemorate such days, wilt thou humble hearts before thee, and wilt thou give in the midst of us in this afternoon also a measure of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, take away all that does hinder, for thou knowest all our circumstances. Oh, that thy word may be in the foreground, and that thy Spirit may come to bless us undeservedly, and that thou wouldst bind us together around thy holy word of truth. Glorify thy own name. Forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 398, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord upholds the faltering feet. and makes the weak securely stand, and the burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by His most gracious hand. And what follows in all the stanzas of Psalter 398.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, we read in Esther chapter 6, on that night could not the king sleep. Why was that he could not sleep? Was he sick? Did he have too many things going on during the day that he could not sleep at night? Was he worried about tomorrow? If we had asked him, "And why are you not able to sleep?" then he will have said, "I do not know." That was for him a mystery. But I think you know, children, right? Why is it that the king could not sleep? You say the Lord kept the king awake. That is right. There are almost 8 billion people in the world. And the Lord regulates the sleep of each and every one of them. We read in the Bible that so he giveth his beloved sleep. But he took it away from King Ahasuerus. Now why? It was for the sake of his own people. Because his people were oppressed. Because his people were afflicted, because his people were persecuted. We read the city of Shushan was perplexed. And then the cry of his people went up unto heaven. And the Lord heard, and he took away the sleep of the king Ahasuerus, for the sake of his own people. The Lord will take care of his remnant. And the Lord will take care of his own people. We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider with you the portion that we have heard this afternoon read, which you can find in Luke chapter 6, thereof the 12th verse. Luke 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So far, the words of our text. The prayer of Christ to God in the night. First, the circumstances of this prayer. And it came to pass in those days. Second, the place of this prayer. That he went out into a mountain to pray. And last, the continuance of this prayer, and continued all night in prayer to God. The prayer of Christ to God in the night. First, the circumstances. Second, the place. And third, the continuance of this prayer. And it came to pass in those days. Days, congregation, belong to the time. Days do not belong to eternity. In eternity, there will be no more days. In eternity, there will be one eternal day, or one eternal night? How will it be for us? Will it be forever day, or will it be forever night? We can never overestimate the importance of a day, the importance of a single day, especially when it comes to prayer. Because when the days of this world are ended, then also prayer will be ended. Prayers belong to the time. To eternity belongs praises and curses. Do we pray? How much do we pray? And what will we do in eternity? Will we praise or will we curse? And it came to pass in those days that Christ was also in those days. He entered into the time from eternity. That is an unfathomable thing. That the eternal God, that the limitless God, would bind himself unto time. Thus he created the universe and then came himself within that universe. He created the earth, and he came to live upon that earth. He created the time, not in the third heaven, but in the first and the second heavens. And he came to dwell within that time. What a marvel that there had been. If that universe, if that earth had never been marred by the sin of man, when he came to dwell within that time. But we read it came to pass in those days. Thus, what days were they? They were the days that the curse of God did lay upon all the inhabitants of the world, both man and beast, and everything also that is immovable here in this world. Those were the days that he tarried here upon this world. He came to the world in the midst of sin. That holy being, he subjected himself to all the consequences of the sin of mankind. Those are the days of which our text is speaking about. What a grief that he had to suffer in those days. We read here that he went into the synagogue. And then what a grief he had to suffer within his own synagogue. There are the Pharisees, the scribes, those who were the rulers of the people. And we read that his own disciples, they had gone through the corn, and they plucked the ears of corn. But those disciples are rebuked. Why do ye that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath days? What a grief. What a grief that was to Christ himself, who was the lawgiver, because the Jewish people, they said that because the Sabbath day is holy and we may not labor on that Sabbath day, then in their canons they have written that you may, on the evening prior, you may pluck the ears of corn, and that you may rub them in your hands, and you may blow off the chaff that is left. And come Sabbath day, then it is lawful to blow that corn again, but it is unlawful to rub that corn again. It is unlawful to pluck that ear on the Sabbath day, because that is a derivative, they said, of reaping, which would be laboring upon the Sabbath day. So it says here particularly that the disciples, they plucked those ears of corn. And they didn't only pluck them, but they rubbed those ears in their hands on the Sabbath day. And then they were only permitted to blow the chaff off of their corn on the Sabbath day. Now we can imagine what a grief that was unto the lawgiver, who has given his law and who has said that they must keep that Sabbath day holy, as if that did prevent a hungry man from eating upon the Sabbath day. Thus they have made the commandment of the Lord carnal, and the Lord Jesus says, you have condemned those who are guiltless. That was not the purpose, he said, of my law, but you have made my law into something that is carnal, and that is because they lacked in that spiritual life in those days. What do we read? He enters into that synagogue. There is a man there who has his hand withered. Poor man. Poor man, what a misery that sin has brought into this world. Do we ever feel for that misery? For what purpose did Christ come into this world? That was that he may deliver his people from the consequences of that sin, but also from sin itself. Did we ever feel the need that we may be delivered not only from the consequences, but that we may be delivered from the cause, that which does bring about all the misery that man experiences in this world, that we may be delivered from sin, that the Pharisees did not feel. No, we read, they watch him. They do not say, Master, thou art able to heal the sick. We have here a man who has a withered hand. And wilt thou look upon this man? And wilt thou also remember him in his wretchedness, in his misery? No. No, we read, they watch him. They have no pity on that man. They have but one goal, and that is that they might find an accusation against Christ. Thus they watch him very closely. What is he doing? What will he do? Hopefully he will do something that we can accuse him of. And when that poor man is helped, then we read they are filled with madness. In those days, they are the days that Luke is writing about. And what do we read? In those days, he went out into a mountain to pray. He had been condemned because he did eat with publicans and sinners. And Christ had a great struggle within that synagogue, with the Pharisees, with the scribes, to break down those traditions of theirs that he himself declared that did make the commandment of the Lord without effect, that did afflict the poor and the needy in the world. In those days, he went out. That is, he went out of the synagogue, and he went where? He went into a mountain. That is our second thought, the place of prayer. In those days, he went out to pray. Is that not something? Why did Christ have to pray? You say, do not men pray to him? Is not he himself God? How is it that God should pray? That is a mystery. That is the mystery of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he did become a man, and that he came into a certain relation with his Father that did not exist before, because he is equal with God, his Father. We say that the Father and the Son are co-equal. The Father and the Son are of one essence. Both of them are truly God. And yet, when he came into this world, he brought himself by his own covenant into a new relation with his Father. What is that relation? It is the relation between a servant and his master. Thus he came as the servant of his Father. And when he came as a man, in his humiliation, then he also became dependent upon his Father, which dependence he had not in the same manner in his co-equalness from all eternity. Thus, that is a great mystery. That Christ should be able to pray. He sought that place of a servant. It was just the opposite of our first parents. Because what did they seek? They have sought a place of independence. They have sought that place where they could be a God unto themselves. That they themselves would say what was right, what was wrong. That was the temptation of Satan that he has put into their heart, under which they have fallen. That they should do not his will, but that they should do their own will. And now Christ, when he is going to pay the price for his people, he is going to do what they ought to have done. He is going to fulfill for them that law which they would not fulfill. And Christ placed himself under his heavenly Father when he took upon himself the nature of a man in order that he may mediate, that he may be the mediator. Thus he humbled himself. He became a servant to his Father. In those days, he went out to pray. And where did he go? We read he went into a mountain. There in that mountain, he could be all alone, apart from every single person in this world. What is congregation? True religion. True religion. True religion is between God and our soul. There is no one, not your dear mother, children, your dear father, when you would have an accident, young people, when you would get sick, deathly sick, when you would have to die, when you would have to go through that valley of death, then there is none, not your mother, not your father, that can go with you. No one. Then it will not do you any good if your father has a new heart, or your mother. No, then you need that yourself. We read that he went into a mountain where he would be all alone. There he prayed to his Father. He had a blessed relation unto his Father. Or we can make a profession. We can say much with our mouth. A congregation, do we have this? A secret life. Secret life, an inner chamber, a relation between God and our own soul. If we miss it, we miss everything. We miss everything. In those days, he went out into a mountain to pray. To whom did he pray? We read he continued all night in prayer to God. What an intimacy there was between Christ and his Father. What a blessed relation. How is your relation, young people? How is your relation between you and your Father? Between you and your mother. That relation God has given you. no man, God has given you your father, has given you your mother. Are you then able to speak about things to your father or to your mother that maybe you would not speak about to anyone else that is in this world? That is the way it ought to be. Because there is love in the heart of your father and your mother for you. They are there to protect you. They are there to help you. But now we ask you this. May you ever now go to the Lord in your secret chamber. May you ever now pray unto Him as the Lord Jesus prayed, we read here, to God. That life of secret prayer. Oh, had we all more of this. That is now the thermometer, has been said. The thermometer of the health of the spiritual life of God's true church. The inner chamber being empty, that is not a good sign. All that is a life of conscious dependence. When that people may be near continually unto that throne of grace. And there on that mountain, Christ prayed unto His Father. So what did He pray for? The Bible does not say that here. It is secret. It is secret. Maybe there are some things, young people. Maybe there are some things that you cannot say to your mother, that you cannot say to your father. But are they now things that you are able to lay before the Lord? The most important things, the need of your soul. That is secret. What a wonder when there is a secret between your soul and the Lord. Do you pray, boys and girls? What do you pray for? What do you pray for? You cannot answer me here. That is a good question for our elders. When they will visit you on house visitation, will you think about that? Then they can ask you that question. And then you can give them an answer. What do you pray for? The Bible does not describe it here at this time. And yet, the Bible is not silent about the prayers of Christ. Only read John 17. And many other places also in the Gospels. In the first place, Christ was dependent upon His Father for help in the work that He had promised His Father He would do. And the Father has promised Him that He would give Him strength, that He would help Him, that He would uphold Him, that He would give Him everything that was necessary to finish that work for the salvation of His people. And we can read how Christ has prayed for this. Only think of Him in the garden. And then the Father has heard Him according to His own promise. And He has sent an angel of the Lord to strengthen Him in His work. But here we read that the Lord Jesus is just coming out of the synagogue. There he has battled the devices of the prince of darkness within that visible church. There he has defended his falsely accused disciples. There he has helped the poor and the needy. These were the objects of the supplications of Christ. Those that were not able to come to their own defense. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me. For they are thine. To whom did he pray for them? He prayed for them to God, to his Father. And why to his Father? Well, the Father is that person of the Holy Trinity to whom providence and creation are specifically ascribed. Thus, who has more power than his Father? Paul says, all things work together for good to them that fear God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things that are happening in the world, when the wheels of providence are continually turning round and round, everything, he says, is being directed by his Father. Thus Christ prays to his Father that he may direct everything that is happening in the world, that it all may be for the welfare of his own church, that it may be for the deliverance of the oppressed. It was God who raised up Pharaoh. It was God who brought that people, his own people, into bondage. It was God himself who hardened Pharaoh's heart. It was God himself who destroyed that king. Why? All for one purpose. He himself had said that people would come up out of that land of Egypt, and he would bring them back into that land of Canaan that was the promise of the Lord unto Abraham and in Christ's day. And then we have heard here of the oppression of these Pharisees, the very rulers of the church of God, who turned the truth of God into a lie because of enmity against Christ. Also, the church of Christ would have to suffer. And then they are looking for Lazarus because they said Lazarus also must die. And so that church must suffer on account of the mercies of Christ. And what does Christ do? What do we read? And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. Let us sing. 432. 1 and 3. God, Jehovah, reigns. His are all domains. Tremble at his word, peoples who have heard of the power of him who, mid cherubim, his great throne has taken, let the earth be shaken. 1 and 3 of 432. The prayer of Christ to God in the night. First, the circumstances of this prayer. Second, the place of this prayer. Last, the continuance of this prayer. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. All night. That is a long time. He was busy all the day. And all the night he spent in prayer. How long do you pray? Read in the Bible, and that the Pharisees had long prayers. The Lord Jesus says they were long for a reason, and that was for pretense, because then they were in front of other persons. That was wicked. That was hypocritical. The publican had a very short prayer, and that short prayer was heard. It is very often the shortest prayers that are the most urgent. Peter only cried out, "Lord, save me." That was very short. Do we ever have such short and urgent prayers coming out of our hearts? But we read here of Christ that he continued all night in prayer to God. Was that then a pretense? Say, well, it was not, because he was all alone. Say, how would it be possible that someone would be all night in prayer to God? I think we would say we would run out of things to pray for after just a little while. But congregation, we may ask the parents and the grandparents that are in our midst if there are not some times that they are beside their bed in the night, and whether those prayers do not become sometimes very long, because there are more children, and because that there are more grandchildren. There is a very touching early American poem. "I saw my mother kneeling. Her eyes, they were closed in prayer. I heard a low, faint whisper. My name was mentioned there." Do you have a praying mother? Do you have a praying father? That is not to be despised, children, young people. James writes, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And your mother, your father will say, "Ah, but I am not a righteous man." But in our text, then, we are speaking here about a truly righteous man. And his prayer that is effectual, and his prayer is fervent, and his prayer availeth much, yea, everything. And continued all night in prayer to God. Do you know what we read of him? We read, "He calleth his own sheep by name." We read, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." We read that their names are written in the book of life. Every single one. Can you understand then that he has continued all night in prayer to God? Was our name mentioned there in that long night? We heard what went before that prayer in the synagogue. And what came after that prayer. And when it was day, we read, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. And then we read all of their names. What do you think? Were those names also heard in that prayer? In that night? That was the prayer that went before the institution of that New Testament ministry. When the old, that which had turned into a Pharisaical thing, was to be brought to an end, was to be brought to a close. And the Lord, he is going to renew it himself. And before this goes, this prayer through the night. Was there not sufficient matter for him for the success of that ministry that will go now not only unto those Jews who would reject him, who would crucify him on the cross? Sufficient matter for the success of a ministry that would go out into the entire world? What did the Lord Jesus say? Neither pray I for these alone, these disciples, but also for those who will believe on me through their word. Or will you also believe on him through the word of his servants? Do you hear who lay upon the heart of Christ in the night? That is every single one of the church of God. That is to the last one that will be brought in by that preaching of the gospel and continued all night in prayer to God. While what? While his children, while his disciples are sleeping, while they are unconverted, his people, his elect, he is praying. While his disciples are not yet called, that came afterwards, he is praying. It does not begin with us. No, it begins with him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is also not completed by us. Has he ceased to pray? Oh, there he prayed in the state of his humiliation. There he prayed as one that pleaded with his Father. And now he has not ceased, but it continues. Now he prays as one who demands of his Father. Because his work is finished. And now he demands that the Father give to him that seed, that people, whom he has purchased with his own blood. congregation? Is that a light matter? Whether we are included in that prayer. Are we ever jealous of Peter? The Lord Jesus said to him, I have prayed for thee. That is something. That thy faith fail not. When it must come through the temptation, then it will go through the fire. I have prayed for thee. Oh, there is so much power in it for the church. A church that cannot keep themselves. But what does he say? Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There should be no turmoil. There need be no turmoil in the heart of that people. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. So firm, so sure is the salvation of the true church of God and continued all night in prayer to God. That was now part of that office of Christ. And that was the labor of his office. That was a labor that was in the sweat of his face because of our sin. Then he had to labor in it. How then it shall it be for his people, for his church? Will it be any less of a labor for them? Will it be any less for them as it was for Jacob, who wrestled with God for fear of his brother? But what was now the truth? God had already gone before him. The wheels of God's providence, they were already turning for him. Was Jacob's prayer then the cause? Oh no. It was rather the fruit. It was rather the fruit in the life of Jacob. Is that fruit also in our life? Esther, she said, gather all the Jews and pray for me. Fast ye for me. In her trembling, but the wheels of God's providence, they were already turning for Esther and for her people, the true people of the Lord, the oppressed church of God. Oh, the Lord will teach indeed his people to pray, but they will not be the cause. That will only be the fruit. And he will bring them to pray through all kinds of trial and tribulation here below. Oh, do we have, friends, an inner chamber? Because the Lord makes his people to follow in that way of his Son until the night is ended, and then the day appears. And all the prayers, they will be turned into praises for that people. And God's name will receive all the glory. Amen. O Lord of of heaven and of earth, do teach us to pray. But wilt thou also remember us in thy own supplications, that we also may be named therein. O give us work at the throne of grace for this indispensable blessing, while the short journey is still going on. Do dismiss us with thy blessing, and give us to keep thy day holy in a right way before thee. And wilt thou look on us in the week to come? Help each one in all the labors of our hands. And wilt thou give meditation upon thy word of truth? For Jesus' sake, amen. 303, stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord unto his Christ hath said, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy enemies submit to thy command. 1 and 2 of 303. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.